Dr. Gerald Zahorchak, Division Chair of Education at the University of Pittsburgh at Johnstown, also former Secretary of Education for the state of Pennsylvania, distinguished career as a respected educator. And thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us today, Dr. Zahorchak.
I'm happy to, and happy to be with you again, Bill.
One of the reasons why I have to talk to you, because you were obviously there to get this United Against COVID program off the ground.
Yeah, I think it comes with, you know, the idea of what does an educator do? What does a community organization do? What do multiple? We all have a role in this, from our federal to state government down into our local governments, right to the person. Mm-hmm. And as educators, you know, right now it was always about what to tell children, because they're going to be anxious, and how do you appropriately talk about the issues of the day? And here's one, COVID-19. And if you go to their website, they have a whole list of, here are some ideas about talking to children about coronavirus. Help your child know that you and the adults in their lives are protecting them.
Yeah.
And the doctors and nurses and scientists are taking care of people who are sick and working ways to find out how to keep everyone safe. Children need to know it's not their job to fix the virus,
mm-hmm.
but you can empower them to be a helper by washing their hands, appropriately covering their nose and mouth if they cough or sneeze. They say be mindful of what your children hear and see and on the news and try to limit that.
Mm.
And then as they see something, make sure that it's a conversation. As reports continue to grow, it's important that children know that no one person, no group of people is responsible for people being sick. Let your child know they can always come to you with questions. If you don't know the answer to a question, it's okay to tell your child, I'm wondering about that too. Or let them know. You'll come back to them and have the answer later. Ask the child if they heard about the coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
They may have heard more than you would realize. And good information and misinformation. But ask them what they know rather than assuming. That gives you then the chance to meet them where they are.
Mm-hmm.
And let your child know it's okay to have feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Are always safe with you, the parent, caregiver, teacher. Whether they're worried or sad or anything at all, those are their feelings. We have advice from the federal and state government, too. The administration at both levels have on the website, you know, make sure that people are doing certain things. If people get sick, stay home. If you think you might have been in contact, quarantine. If you are out, socially distant. Make sure you have a mask. The greatest way to do, in my view, to do a good little experiment, and I'm not a virus specialist by any means,
mm-hmm.
but the greatest thing with this mask thing is, you know the Bic lighters you use, the long ones for grills? Light that up, let the flame go, keep depressing the lighter
mm-hmm.
so the flame stays, have your mask already on, and blow as hard as you can, as if you're going to blow the walls out.
Mm-hmm.
That light will keep going
mm-hmm.
because you have that mask on.
Right.
Then take your mask down and just give a little puff, and it goes right out. So it's a neat experiment.
Yeah.
Now, there's all kind of things we know about droplets and aerosols. That's really pretty scientific, but they're letting us know. Every time you breathe, you're releasing some of that
mm-hmm.
from your nose or your mouth. If you sneeze, it's, 50,000 droplets, 150 miles an hour, vibrating everywhere. Or it could be contained.
Yeah.
You can contain it with the inside of your elbow. You can contain it with the mask.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of wearing masks, some people can't. The young kids, the youngest of the young can't. Somebody with an illness can't respirate well would have a hard time with that. But if you can, that's not a hard thing.
Yeah.
That's everybody saving everybody else. Usually we're resistant. I remember the years that people were saying, let's put a seatbelt on. It's like, oh, I don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
Now we all do.
Mm-hmm.
We're buying car insurance, too.
Right.
So, that's, there as far as that goes. But I thought, can we help as individuals, as community groups? The United Way is right in the center of so many good things, helping people all the time.
Right.
No better place to start.
Yeah, no doubt. And what I always appreciate about the United Way is the efforts. There's this great collaboration among great organizations and great groups. And even this, as a grassroots effort, you've put together a coalition of some really good people behind the scenes that are getting this message across. And, of course, you've been involved with United Way for some time now, too.
Yeah, for a long time. This is my second tour, if you will, as a board member with the United Way. What I appreciate most about them, they have a vision, but they didn't build it alone. They built it with the community's foundations. They built it with the hospital systems. They built it with people, 360 degrees. And then they started saying, what are the main goals if we've got a collective vision? What can we agree on as our goals, and how can we get it? And so they're starting literally helping at birth the whole way up through childhood, and then in the peripheries of helping people with food that are just not able to access food, or helping people understand unemployment. They even have a line 211 statewide. Somebody's always on it that can help you one-stop shopping if you need support or services. And we all need support or services at some times in our life.
Yeah. What I always appreciate about what United Way does, and I believe we've talked about this before, but we live in a society now where we're always looking for the quick fix. You know, let's get this problem solved immediately, so let's go to the simple solution. United Way, long term, I mean, this is a real investment that they make within communities, and that goes throughout all of Cambria, Somerset County, and it's not just the cities of Johnstown and Somerset, but this is hitting rural environments as well.
Yeah, that's, I think, the nice thing about our United Way. I do think it's one of the leaders. We had Michelle Figler. She's now with the Heinz Foundation as a vice president. She was an early child specialist in Western Pennsylvania with the National Association of Education for Children and Youth. Figler also was the deputy secretary of the Office of Child Development in Harrisburg. So she's had a career. She came to kick off a United Way campaign here a couple of years back, and she literally was crying because it was so aligned what the United Way was able to do to align efforts. Because a lot of times in lots of communities, it's like the Wild West, one group shooting over here, another group over there with their goals, and all well-intentioned, but not leveraging each other's power. So this United Way of the Laurel Highlands now, and has been for a while, able to align a lot of work, and we're blessed. Bill McKinney has left. He just did extraordinary work.
Sure did.
And now we have Karen. She's a super smart. We have many people in the community like that. Everybody working in a United Way.
Yeah. Very impressive organization. These last 9-10 months have had quite an impact upon all of us, you know, as we talk about this United Against COVID campaign. And I've also talked to a lot of educators over the course of the last year or so about adapting, about dealing with this different environment that we live in now. You're an expert to talk to in this situation, and I'm curious as to what your thoughts are about the way that educators have handled this difficult time.
First of all, we talk about heroes, you know, people who dedicate their lives to education. Everybody's now recognizing, oh my gosh, the work that they do. When I'm home with a child, for example, a mother might say, all right, I have two or three, and trying to coordinate and do things that the teacher does with 25 and sometimes more, they're realizing what heroes. And during the pandemic, to keep going, to figure it out, to be nimble, to be innovative, to try. And that's all we have to do. We can all say this with the basic education teachers from pre-kindergarten to 12th grade. We could say for certain, we all know this is a mess. And we know, even as hard as we're going to try, for the academic outcome stuff, it's not really going to be all that effective. We know that. But what we also know is from the development stuff of a child, a human being, a lot of it is still being done very, very well. The relationships that they have, the help they have from, let's teach a young child, and we do purposely, that the amygdala part of your brain is that thing that gets excited about any stimuli at all. You know, you're excitable because there's emotion. Or any kind of stimuli. You might be crying 1 minute, happy the next, impulsive the next. But we also teach that we can help children with something that experts are calling executive function skills. And it's the frontal lobe part of the brain where we can teach them how to organize, how to do self-control, how to show empathy, how to be self-aware, how to be aware of others. Those kinds of things can be deliberately taught, and our teachers do those kinds of things,
mm-hmm.
embedded in their normal practice,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes embedded in curriculum, which, by the way, United Way, every single middle school in Cambria and Somerset County, and public and many privates, are doing the BOT-VIN program, which is a social-emotional learning program, and it builds protective factors so that children can resist risky behavior at those vulnerable ages of 10 to 14.
Mm-hmm.
They even have earlier ones, and many districts have those earlier ones too, but every district, sponsored by, endorsed by, paid for by, teacher training by our United Way of the Laurel Highlands.
There's actually some things, some techniques that teachers have used that they can continue to use now. So it's not necessarily all bad, because there's things that we have learned that we can adapt and use in the future.
That's a really good point. Computer technical assisted instruction is probably more people became more and more aware of the kinds of things, applications, technical applications for simulations. You can actually now dissect the frog with simulated labs, for one example.
Mm-hmm.
But these kinds of things, and classroom management tools, and the kind of tools to make sure all students are engaged in giving feedback, all of those are great part of the technical world that we reside in.
Mm-hmm.
What's not great is the idea of trying to do online or cyber education and basic education, because we've studied that.
Mm-hmm.
Stanford University studied Pennsylvania's outcomes. When you do that alone and you try to place a child with a computer and a teacher that might have 150 students on a list, the actual ability of a child, now this is scientifically examined statistically, will tell you that a child's mathematical ability, if you spend a year, you should grow this much. We know that in PA,
mm-hmm.
by the child. We know how much that child should grow in their scaled assessments. You actually lose a year for every year spent in mathematics. That's an outcome that we don't want.
Right.
And just about every mother, father, caregiver, and teacher knows this isn't effective when you try to do it just this way.
Right.
You can't, because you lose so much of that. I call it some of the more close contact, the personal contact, that, you know, you don't get to high five the principal coming into the building.
Right.
Those kinds of things matter.
Yeah.
And they matter a lot to the educational culture that we have.
I worry about my daughter, who's a very social person, and, you know, how not having that face-to-face interaction with her teachers and her peers is something, obviously, that she's missing out on right now. And, you know, to me, that's a very difficult thing to replicate. I mean, we've all gotten very good at these Zoom sessions, and I have, too. As a teacher myself, you know, I've learned a lot. But, you know, still, being around your peers and the socialization thing is just something that's difficult to replace.
For all of us, even as you're aging, social contact is probably the number one thing for you to age well.
Mm-hmm.
And touch, hand to hand, hand on the shoulder, is the second thing. I don't make this up. This is John Medina, who's a neurologist, studies brain productivity for young people and old people. This socialization is a big part of it. The idea of helping people understand, helping Jerry Zuchorchek and Bo Moore understand you've got to take care of yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
So learn some meditative techniques, simple ones. You don't have to be a guru in that. Learn what the breath means to you. Know what taking some time for yourself to relax and have fun and those kinds of things, be around even though you can't be around, but simulate that being around people.
Mm-hmm.
Extraordinarily important. And then you've got to pass it down, because, look, it's a second grader, a ninth grader, a freshman in college, first time doing that. So you can't expect that they have the capacity to do that without being assisted. And, you know, our young people today, like never before, are facing anxiety and depression again across the country before COVID.
Yeah.
And imagine what's happening. Because I know how I feel, and I know you know how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
These are not ordinary times.
Right.
So they add to the normal stimulation we get in our lives that we're trying to use our own frontal lobe executive function skills of the brain that we're teaching kids how to use.
Yeah. What about your students? What about the students at Pitt Johnstown? Are they encouraged to go into education now? Have they adapted? Have they been able to see what the future looks like for them?
You know, in our division, we're holding our own. While the state has been shrinking in the number of people going into education, in this region, Pitt Johnstown has a brand that our superintendents and principals and mentor teachers around the region, and this is a good region for education, by the way, they like this brand. So we've not lost in terms of student population at all. We're holding our own and even making slight gains in terms of people who are coming. Our brand is caring for each other, and that's our number one thing. While we push hard, but we give more support for that, and the university does that. I'm so impressed with the University of Pittsburgh Johnstown because the layers of support and their planning with the University of Pittsburgh and Johnstown's planning and leadership at the highest levels have been just amazing for all of this. It's tough, it's different, but I think the students and their family knows we're not only doing the best we can. It's been pretty good.
Even 5, 10, 20 years from now, we're going to look back at this time and think how we adapted and how we bettered ourselves. And I think there's many ways in which I just had somebody tell me that, you know, if life throws you lemons, don't just make lemonade, but embrace those lemons. Take those life challenges and make the best of them.
Yeah, I think it builds protective factors that will help us with any risk around the corner because we can come back to those protective factors that we're building now. Good parents build them. Good teachers build them. Sometimes awful events build them. But when you have protection through these experiences, these are hardy people. Think of our forefathers that were immigrants that came over and didn't know where they were coming to. How we look back on them and say, man, they were hardy and they were just tough and good people. Here we are again. People 20 years ago look back and say, what was it like back in that particular pandemic?
Yeah, no doubt. Any final wisdom for our listeners?
I think just repeating and not being afraid to repeat the idea that there are standard ways that we go about any kind of disease prevention, especially one that's contagious like this through the breath. You use the elbow, you do the social distancing, and you avoid the type of packed indoor. I'm looking also on the other side of this. We got to care for the people who are employed, the people who are in business. And I know from the administration on top down through our state leadership, you know, the CARES Act, the loans for businesses that are forgivable loans to try to make whole. They come, they take some time, but they come. A lot of people supporting. I'm sure the United Way is helping the owners find out. The Paycheck Protection Plan underneath the CARES Act, too, to make employees whole. So you can be smart about this. I love restaurants in Johnstown, and I continue to use curbside or go in and pick it up. I think our businesses, a lot of them, have figured out how to be nimble, how to adapt. Our local businesses also need us. And I am thinking in my mind, I always, before clicking that, send me something through, the big Amazons or the big boxes, who has that local? And I don't care, you know, you save on shipping anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Buy it locally because that money will stay and churn in our community way better than anywhere else. So while we're taking care of ourselves and taking care of others, we need to also remember our businesses need our support during times like these.
Yeah. United Against COVID campaign going strong in educating our community. Of course, the involvement with United Way and good people involved with that. Dr. Gerald Zahorchak, one of those people getting this off the ground. And Dr. Zahorchak, always appreciate conversation with you. Dr. Gerald Zahorchak, Division Chair of Education, University of Pittsburgh at Johnstown, former Secretary of Education, State of Pennsylvania. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks. Always enjoy being with you both. Thank you.
Thanks.